June 1964, and a group of businessmen set up a radio station on the Army fort at Red Sands. They include Charles Evans, John Thompson, and Tom Pepper.
You are listening to a test transmission from Radio Invicta, broadcasting on 238 meters, 1259 kilocycles in the medium wave band. Reception reports, please, to the Chief Sound Engineer, Radio Invicta, Folkestone, Kent.
I was at home in Richmond. The doorbell went. My then wife answered it, and she came up. She said, "It's a funny looking character downstairs for you." And in came this fellow in dungarees, cap, welly boots right up to his thighs, and a pong of, I don't know what it was. It wasn't body odour, it was just an odd type of smell. He hadn't shaved. He said, "Are you Ed Marino?" So I thought, "I'm going to get done in here." I said, "Yes." "He said, well, I want you for my radio station." I said, he couldn't afford to pay me very much. In fact, it was only £25 a week, which even in 64 was good money. But he desperately needed somebody to come up to Radio Invicta. And that was it. That was my meeting with Tom Pepper.
Ed Marino recalling how he joined the station.
"When I got on now, I desperately wanted to use the toilet. So I said to Tom, you know, well, where are the toilets?" He said, "Where the bloody hell do you think they are? Over the side, you see."
Things were very primitive at the start, but gradually they improved.
"We did actually have a loo, and providing you were the bionic man, you could use it, because we used to have to use the loo and pick up this, 50-gallon churn of seawater to flush it, and then winch the churn down into the sea to get more water, you know. So, thank God, nobody on board had diarrhoea."
"We apologise to amateur radio operators in the 80-metre band if they are having trouble with our third harmonic. Reports, please, to the Chief Sound Engineer, Radio Invicta, Folkestone, Kent."
Phil Perkins came into the forts because he complained. He was a ham. For some reason or another, the harmonic of Radio Invicta interfered with his reception or his transmission or one or the other, and he phoned Tom Pepper to complain. And Tom said, "Well, if you can do better, you come down and fix it," you see. So Phil thought, "Right, well, what I'll do is I'll come down and I'll sort of go out on the fort. It'll be nice to see what they're doing there. I'll sort out the equipment and go back home, back to my own job." He didn't reckon on Tom Pepper, because Tom got him out there, and Phil took one look at the equipment, which was unbelievable. It was a 1 kilowatt transmitter. And he said, "How the hell do you ever get this lot to work anyway?" He set about rewiring the studio. He tuned up the transmitter. He built an amplifier stage, which increased the power. He organised the aerial, so instead of having a piece of wire strung between two poles, which unfortunately were not insulated, so that the whole of the forts were being used as an aerial, giving a tremendous distortion, somebody had stuck a metal pole and the transmitter wire onto the metal pole, but the metal pole was connected to the metal fort. In fact, the largest aerial in the Guinness Book of Records is the English Channel under Radio Invicta.
The station reached as far as London, playing a mixture of pop and middle-of-the-road music. It soon began to build up an audience.
I devised a programme called Potluck, where we invited, this is for Simon, where we invited the listener to send in a postcard with a number on it, any number between 1 and, I remember, it was 9,300. And this was supposed to correspond with a number on one of the records in the studio. Now, the fact that we only had about 200 records in the studio made no difference, you see. Think big. To make things a little bit more tricky, we said that we would give a number out at the beginning of the programme and we would either add it or deduct it from the number the listener wrote on a piece of paper. Now, that was clever thinking, because I thought to myself, well, if we just take any record, we say, well, this is number 6,429, And somebody up in Norfolk thinks, oh, I like that record, I'll write in for it. Then we might be flummoxed when we get this card asking for 6,429 and finally play something entirely different. So we had to devise this method of getting round it. And it worked. Because we played everything. I took out a few soundtrack albums, like A Dentist's Drill and all that sort of thing, you know. And the program worked. It was an absolute wow. And Sexy Simon did very well out of it. He was getting upwards of 150 letters a week, which was quite a lot for a small station, for this one program. So it meant that everybody had their record played anyway, although when we went on the air we said that the post office's mail boat was just coming out sort of way down with sacks as Tom brought the lot up in a margarine box, you know.
Back to Potluck now and all of your requests. Just a time check though, it's about 1 minute to 12. We've got about 50 seconds left and we'll be hitting 12 noon, high noon, on the Potluck Show. Number 3,676. It's going out to a Mr. Tony Jeffrey of 26 Coney Acre, Rickling, Saffron, Walden in Essex. Well, I got through that okay, didn't I? Here it is, 3,676.
But of course advertising was needed. Tom Pepper dealt with this in his own particular way.
He barged into the offices of the News of the World and said, oh, I want to see the chairman. Somehow or another, and I don't exactly know how, but he got in to see the chairman. And he said, I want your commercials on my station. This man was so taken back with Tom and so intrigued by this. He said, well, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. We normally put everything through our advertising agents, but you show me that you can advertise the News of the World and come back and see me. So Tom came and saw me, and we worked it out, and for two Sundays, we did the News of the World adverts. Read it in the News of the World tomorrow. The News of the World had, they'd liked what they'd heard, they liked Tom's approach, they liked the unusualness of the situation, and they were prepared to give us a contract, not for very much, a couple of £1,000, you know. But for us it would have meant a new lease. We need some equipment and several things.
Do you love me? And this is to remind you that you're tuned to your station on Styx, Radio Invicta, broadcasting on 306 metres, medium wave. Now don't you think that's good?
That was on lucky number 10, Carl Denver and Wimaway. If you would like something played on Potluck, just send it out to Potluck, Radio Invicta, Folkestone, Kent. I think you'll probably be getting used to that address pretty soon. Ask for a rate card by dropping us a card to Radio Invicta Advertising Department, 110 Fenchurch Street, London EC3, or telephone Mansion House, 4622. That's Mansion House, 4622. Do it straight away. We'd like to hear from you. Back to Potluck. The time here is 5 minutes to noon. And remember, if you would like something on Potluck, send it along to Radio Invicta, Folkestone, Kent. And we'll try and get it out to you.
Unfortunately, things were not to go well for Radio Invicta. On the 16th of December 1964, Tom Pepper set out in his launch David to take supplies to the station. He left for the fort, taking DJs Simon Ashley and Martin Shaw with him. By this time, a storm was blowing up. Ed Marino, who should have been on the boat, remembers the events after this.
In the evening, about 6 o'clock in the evening, I think it was, we had a visitor, and it was a police launch. And they came up and checked everybody, and we thought, well, you know, what's going on? We didn't know. They asked for me, and of course I was there, and I thought, oh, God, you know, what have I done? Parking tickets or something like that. And then they said, we thought that you were dead. Because I hadn't been on the air that day, as I was not supposed to be there, you know. And they said, well, why should I be dead? And then they told me that they'd found Tom's body and they knew from Tom's wife that I was with him. But having listened to the station all day, not hearing me on the air, and only hearing those that should have been there anyway, they thought I'd gone down. The police said, well, we're going to take you off now because we need you to identify and help us and all that sort of thing. And I said, I'm not going off, not until I've done this commercial. And they said, well, you know, we can't, we've got to get you off now because the tides and all that sort of thing. And I said, well, I'm not going until we've sort of, until I did this tribute, you see. And the two boys hadn't been found, and there was still a remote chance that they might still be alive. And so I refused to leave until I'd been able to say something to be broadcast the following day. We'd closed down at 6 o'clock that evening anyway, you see. So they said, well, we haven't got time to let you sort of do all this. I grabbed a piece of music and spoke out of the top of my head. And literally, as I finished speaking, the police sort of grabbed me and took me into the launch and whipped me back to Whitstable. And that was it. They never found the other two boys, but they did find a body in Spain. In the pocket was a tape of some Radio Invicta programs. And it could have been Simon, it could have been Martin, we don't know. But it was a terrible end to a very happy, friendly station.
Time is just past 10 o'clock on Radio Invicta. The program schedule of Radio Invicta has been temporarily suspended. Here with a tribute to Tom Pepper is Ed Marino.
Today, we on Radio Invicta are deeply grieved. The loss of our chairman, and not only our chairman, but our very dear friend, Sir Tom Pepper, in itself, hard enough to take. We on Radio Invicta resolve that this will be something for his family and children to grow up as a living memorial to a great and wonderful man who risked his life many times for other people. Lifeboatman, bringing us food and supplies in gales where no normal man would ever dream of putting out to sea. Lord, for those who peril on the sea, take them to your hearts. We beseech thee.